Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Alistair, yes, Andy. Well, we're here today to promote our new podcast, The Pop Test, on ABC Radio National. You can download it from anywhere where you get podcasts. It's a science comedy quiz show. What's that? Yeah, that's right. It is.
Hey, you guys. It's me, Alistair. What are you doing in here? I need to come in to promote the Pop Test. I'm supposed to be recording something now and tell people that Norman Swan's on this weekend. If you listen to the latest one, he's on it. Norman Swan.
That's right. And for those who are outside of Australia, he is our COVID daddy. He's the guy who gives us all our COVID info. He's the Fauci of Australia.
He's just a media Fauci. You know?
He's a media Fauci, but we have non-media Faucis, but they're not Fauci like. Andy said, "Al, you do this that way; it won't take long."
But then you started doing it in character as me. And I thought, this is undermining the entire thing.
That way you wouldn't jump in and make this way longer. And then the other thing we need to promote is our comedy festival show, Teleport, which you can get tickets for. It's in the city of Melbourne in Australia, and it's called Teleport. If you Google Teleport and comedy festival, it should come up.
Thank you very much.
We're going to go to the episode now.
Hello and welcome to Two in the Think Tank, the show where we come up with five sketch ideas.
I am Andy.
I am the real deal.
And I'm also Andy. Hello. And I'm Alistair George William Trombley Virtual. And you know what? Have you ever heard of a mukbang, Andy?
Now, is this an Indonesian thing?
No, it's not. I think it's a Korean thing.
Ah, Korean. The Indonesia of the North.
That's Korean. Right. That's how I see of it. I think it's just an Indonesia on its side. Hugging.
Yes.
Do you think it's hugging China? Is it hugging? I don't know.
It's glommed on. Yeah, it's like a little sucker fish, like one of those, one of those ones with the round mouth. You know the one.
It's a round mouth. It's one of those round mouth countries.
Yeah.
It's just a thing where you watch people eat and they slurp and stuff.
Ah, so they're not banging in the muck.
No, Andy. No. You see, you're thinking of those English words, but they were actually, I think they come from a Korean language origin.
Mm.
But you know, this is what people do. They stream things. You know, they stream video games.
Yes.
They stream eating. And people do it for company and stuff. But what other life-supporting important things in our lives could we stream?
Very good, Alistair. Yes. This is you've opened the door. You know how some houses, they open into a corridor? Well, this episode opens right into the living room, baby, because we're straight in comfortable sketch territory.
Absolutely.
I'm almost ruining it by this by pointing it out. But God, it's got to be. I'll put my feet up straight away.
You know, here's a man appreciating life. Actually, almost not even able to enjoy it
because he's spent so much time appreciating it.
Yeah.
Look, Alistair, I mean, there's the going to the toilets, obviously, but we don't need that. That's filthy. That's not the way we do things on this podcast anymore.
Regular breathing.
Regular breathing. Hello.
You know? You know, imagine that. You have you know, various cameras at different angles. Mm. People on the on the live stream are commenting on different ways that you should try breathing and things like that.
Yep.
But then you've also got little fiber optic cameras, those very thin ones, that you could have them near your nose and they could go up into your nose when you're breathing in.
Mm.
And they maybe could even have a little umbrella at the end like that, so that they really, you know, get sucked up, sucked in, maybe go down into the mouth, the back of the throat, make you cough. You could see what it would be. Maybe that you could then get expelled through the mouth. Then you see that whole journey.
You could be the breath. You know, like you ride, like ride on that. Yeah.
A breath's eye view.
Mm. In, out. Oh, you get lodged in an areola. Oh, the person started choking. Oh, no.
An areola.
Areola? Not areola. What are the what's the
how
one?
How deep have you gone?
What are the ones in the lungs? The bronchioles in a bronchiole.
Your life, your streaming. It's a milk drops eye view.
Mm, you get squirted out
through the areola.
You know, I mean, what is there? Doing up shoelaces. I'm sure there are people who do their shoelaces real nice, and people would like to watch that.
Yeah, you know? I mean, people would absolutely love a knot expert.
A person who's an expert. Oh, somebody who is an expert. Right. I thought you meant somebody who's not an expert.
No, a knot expert.
Yeah.
But a person who is an expert knots rather than a person who's a novice at making knots.
Yes. Yes, indeed. So this
I suppose we like a, what we like want is a knot. We want a knot expert, not a knot novice.
Mm. Exactly. So you get an old pirate, an old sea pirate, who could splice the laces together, brace. Well, if you could take apart the threads of the lace, you take apart the individual threads, and then you're able to interweave the threads of the two laces together, so that it's basically a single loop now that goes all the way around. It's real fiddly. I used to have to for scouts.
Why would a pirate be good at that?
Well, because they'd have to do that kind of stuff with ropes all the time. You
right.
know? You know, old sea doc.
What's a sea doc?
A sea dog. An old sea dog. Sea dog.
Yes. It's good to be back doing it over Zoom.
A sea dog. Well, I believe we call that a cat. That's because it's an animal a bit like a dog that begins with the letter C. Thank you.
I reckon a seal is a sea dog.
It is a sea dog. You're right. Or possibly an otter. Or no, I guess an otter is a sea cat. A seal is a sea dog. And remember, I used to have a dog who you referred to as a land seal.
Yeah.
What I considered to be a form of bullying.
Yeah.
Mm.
I think when its unfortunate passing occurred, and I apologize for even bringing it up. I mean, we all knew deep down that it was it succumbing to the pressure of that I was psychological torment that I was putting it through.
Exactly.
Through my sly comments of how slick it looked.
Is there anything wrong with verbally bullying a dog if you do it in a pleasant tone of voice and with a smile on your face? There is absolutely, surely, that is a neutral act. Like, they can't...
yeah.
They can't experience that in any... Like, they can't get any... derive any suffering from that. And I think, therefore, you should be allowed to go along to animal shelters and bully the dogs in a kind tone.
And yeah, I think that this is one of the true victimless crimes. But I mean, do you think you could smile and speak in a nice tone and say "bad dog" over and over again, and that wouldn't affect them in a negative way?
I don't think it would. I think that would go in purely as they just enjoy the company, and if they're enjoying having you there, maybe you're even doing a community service. Maybe this is the thing. This is somebody who maybe is a bit unscrupulous, who's working at an animal shelter, and they run this thing on the sly where they're like, I'll let you in and you can say anything to the dogs. I'll let you say anything. I don't care. I'll turn off the cameras, turn off the microphone. Normally we monitor these things, and you can say whatever you want to the dogs, as long as you do it with a smile on your face pleasing. Oh, maybe you leave the camera on. The person monitoring you leaves the camera on. I don't know why they have cameras, but they leave them on, but they turn off the mic so they can't hear it.
Yeah.
And then you can say whatever you want to the dog. And
they leave the tone mic on.
Ah.
They leave the tone mic on, but they turn off the proper audio mic.
Mm. Yeah. I wonder if Siri is monitoring all of our conversations at all time and Facebook's listening to everything and they record all the, they transcribe all the words that we say, do they also keep a record of the tone? And, could that tone be then separated from the text, from the data, and it becomes a sort of a tone metadata? And then they just use that.
I reckon there's at least a tone tag.
Yeah?
A couple of tone tags. Yeah, I think so. I think if something is screamed, I reckon it takes a note.
Yeah.
It goes. Because, I mean, if you're listening for, the word, bagels, so that you can sell bagels. So somebody can sell bagels.
Yeah. You need to know if they're screaming the word bagels.
If they're screaming the word bagels!
But why do you need to know that? Because I don't think you could tell me whether or not somebody screaming bagels hates bagels or loves bagels. I think, if you can't tell the difference between those two things, then knowing that they're screaming it at all, it doesn't matter. That doesn't feed into your sales algorithm in a meaningful way.
You think they only look for individual words and then they can justify selling it?
That's right.
Selling the ad stuff, and it's not like they won't say, I hate bagels. If someone says, I hate bagels, screamed, get those fucking bagels away from me.
Yeah, okay. Well, I don't know how intelligent the algorithm is and whether or not it's able to derive that, what the full meaning of
that positive or negative tone of it.
Well, the surrounding words. I think... You can say anything you want to the dogs is a sketch idea, Alistair.
Yeah, I'm wondering whether that could be a part of a guy who can hook you up, sort of like a travel agent who can hook you up with victimless crimes.
Oh yes, very good.
You can do. And so verbal abuse of a dog, which probably isn't even a crime.
But it is for the purposes of this. Victimless misdemeanors.
It could be an extreme example.
Mm.
And that's what this guy's selling. He is selling extreme examples of hate speech towards dogs, but done with a smile on your face and a positive tone.
Yeah, okay. Terrific. Terrific. And these are rescue dogs, so they do really appreciate the company. And then we get into grey territory of whether or not it's ethical to go and do that to somebody in a coma or in the advanced stages of dementia when we are sure we've done tests and we know they don't understand the meaning of words anymore. But they can pick up on tone and they do like to see faces. So
you could definitely
what I do is I go and
babies.
I swear to the elderly. Yes, you could. Yes, you could.
Definitely. You could do it with babies. You could do it with any kind of wild animal.
Mm. Mm.
I think playing with the elderly is a bit dicey because
what if they're in a what if they don't speak your language? What if they're
So that's good. Yeah.
So they're foreigners.
So
you can go and you can say anything you want to a foreigner if you say it.
But they get money. They get money and they don't understand.
Yes. Okay. So this is a service for racists, okay, who want to express their racism, but They need to get it out, but they don't want to do it in a hateful way, just in a purely mathematical sense. And
there's a questionnaire and things like that at the beginning for both sides.
Great. One questionnaire for the foreign elderly person with advanced dementia. A questionnaire. A little pop quiz.
Well, you know, the idea that, you know, you would ask them if they did any kind of, you know, English in at uni or primary school if they ever watch any English TV.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You ask them who various celebrities or kind of awful people throughout history are and see if they recognize any of those names, because awful people's, you know, might be brought up in the hate speech.
You're right. Yeah. And you can't rule that out.
Yeah, great.
Beautiful. I had something there, but it's gone. Sorry. I'm sorry, Alistair. This is flowing very well.
I know, Andy. I was thinking, so with the streaming, I don't know if we quite nailed it yet, what we would stream. I did have the thought of you at the beginning of this thing, who was, in a way, streaming, just how much you loved streaming. You know? It's a guy who's, you know what, it's a look behind the curtain. He's showing you the software that he uses for streaming his desktop.
Great. Yeah, okay.
You know, and he's talking about how, you know, it's like, and how great it is that there's an audience there, and this is the perfect setup for streaming.
Well, what about somebody it's just the pre-podcast setup, and I don't think you even need to talk about it. You know, just the bit where you and I are like pulling out the cables and plugging them in and tapping the microphone, and then it cuts out before the podcast starts. So you never have to hear the podcast. Like, you know, people are sick of podcasts, and who needs to hear two white guys? Let's be honest, you know, doing their little chat, comedy chat thing. But it might be satisfying to some people to see the preparation, to see the look of intense fury on my face as I struggle to untangle the microphone cord from the headphones. You know?
This person doesn't enjoy streaming at all. It's just frustration.
Well, I think, you know, do the people who are eating the food, do they always like it in the mukbang?
It seems like they really do.
Oh, okay. I guess that's probably a part of it.
Yeah.
They're not eating things they don't. Do they ever drink water? You ever get someone just drinking water?
Oh, I imagine they do. It's not me that watches it.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, but you know, I saw snippets. You know, I saw snippets. But I mean, you know, you could be a person who drinks water on stream. You know?
Great. What about washing hands? One. I mean, as soon as you get into any kind of body part, you're like, oh, people will just be using this for sexual reasons. You know, I was thinking about like that? scraping dead skin off your heels, but then there'll be people who really get off on that.
Yeah, but why would that be wrong? I don't understand why people have a problem with people masturbating to them.
No. I guess I don't think that would be wrong, but I also think that because people will be into it for sex reasons, it'll already exist. It'll already be taken care of on the internet. So we're not providing anything new. Right, we're not filling a gap because that has already been monetized extensively by
Sure. I mean, Andy, I think if the fact that people are still making pornography to this day doesn't make you think, well, maybe there is a market for new stuff, even stuff that is treading on old ground, especially ground in your case that is covered in skin flakes.
It is very interesting that there is so much more pornography than anyone could ever watch now, and that we are still making more. But it is.
But same thing with, you know, same thing with books. I mean, it's like, it's crazy that every year something like 300,000 books are released, and you go, oh, this is outside of the realm of possibility of consumption.
Yeah, but you're exactly right. And people are like, oh man, this new book is so good. And you're like, but is it? could it possibly be better than every other book that's been written? Like, what what new thing could it be doing that it justifies us even keeping track of this kind of thing or telling anybody about it?
Sure, anyway. But then the opposite bit of thinking is just like, well, I'm doing nothing because everything else is... It's like there's almost too much possibility, so I may as well not just bother at all.
Not bother to do what?
Well, whatever it is, you know, because I mean, you know, when you say somebody recommends a good book to you, and you go, well, this is crazy, that why would this be better than everything else that exists? But then that same question goes to every book in a way.
Yeah.
And so then the kind of, it feels like the end point of that is, well, then I just won't read a book.
Is there a sketch in like government or something, you know, maybe just a human petition of being like, just stop writing books for like 5 years. Just to give us a chance to catch up, because this is getting out of hand. And so we have like a moratorium where you're not allowed to write any new books or whatever it is, whatever the thing is that you're not allowed to do, but nobody's allowed to do any more of this, make any new movies.
Just no new content.
That content, globally, we do like a content-free year. Nobody makes any content, and
it's a content ceasefire.
Yeah, great. And we just get a chance to just collect ourselves, watch a couple of things, and make sure that we've seen all the things that we wanted to see, and then you can start again. I mean, yeah, we almost had a little bit when Hollywood shut down because of COVID, but there were still people doing stuff.
Yeah,
it was still overwhelming.
Probably a lot of 3D animators that didn't quit.
Exactly.
I reckon.
So,
yeah. I mean, I think a content ceasefire is a great idea. You go, all right, peoples. And that includes, you know, tweeting.
Mm-hmm.
It includes writing the news.
And what this will be funded by a new sort of levy. So all those people will still get paid for however long it takes, right? The government will just tax us an extra $100 a year or something, whatever we would have spent on media. And
but think of also all the extra work people will get done because they'll be catching up on old media.
They're expected to keep track.
But I think you can also say, look, and if you don't watch stuff in this period, or the stuff that you wanted to, you can allow yourself to accept that you never will.
Right. That's the thing. At the end of the year, nobody's ever allowed to say, oh, I really want to watch this thing, or I've been meaning to, you know, and we've got to stop publishing those lists of like 100 movies to see before you die or whatever, because if you didn't watch it in your year, then that's it. No one's ever allowed to recommend anything old to anybody ever again.
Yeah, and then we're all just watching new stuff.
It's just new stuff. We start again. Maybe we erase everything. We'll just...
It'd be nice, actually, to just start again.
Right. Year off. You catch up. You watch, read, listen to everything you've ever meant to listen to, and then we destroy the lot. We burn every book.
We burn every computer server, every computer.
Okay. And then it's a blank slate, and it's like... And what's great about this is then in like 20, 30 years, everyone will have forgotten, or everyone who remembered all the old stuff will have died, okay? And then we can start again and like, you know, it's a refresh on all the musical styles, on all the tunes, you know?
Yeah.
You won't have to try and think of... It won't matter if you come up with a tune that's exactly the same as Love Me Do.
It's too hard at the moment. Because Love Me Do's already been done. And
yes.
Every time I try to write a song, I go, oh no, that's been done.
Hang on. And then you do it again.
And then I go, I go, it's Love Me Do again.
You're smashing your head against the wall,
Please.
Blood is coming.
Love me do. Oh, that's Love Me Do. Yeah, I like that. I do like a good start up, start over. And then, you know, then there's no more reboots. Then it's just a boot.
Exactly.
Also, yes. Once we destroy all the computer servers, by the way, I'm also thinking that we're probably wiping out all knowledge as well.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll be good as well.
Yeah. And then maybe instead of everybody having a computer or two computers, we just build one big computer.
This is what Isaac Asimov always thought would be the case in his things, you know, in his fiction. There was always UniVac or MultiVac, and it was one sort of super duper computer that people asked questions to, and it controlled everything.
Yeah, right.
Mm.
I mean, I suppose if you did have a central computer of some sort that did all the processing, you could sort of just pipe the information in.
Yeah, but I don't think he had that. I think it was you went along and you typed in stuff and
lines up.
Everybody gets a turn.
I could imagine it looking like Mecca.
Mm. Exactly. It'd be Mecca, but you know, then you get 5 minutes, you can do whatever you want on the computer. You can play Snake, you can multiply five by six.
It'd be Mechabyte.
Very good. And you what would be good would be like you have a thought, or you want to do a bit of maths, you want to do a calculation. You get to look forward to finding out the answer because you know you're just going to have one chance in like 6 months to go and do it, right? And you can talk to people about what they're going to do. Like instead of asking what are you going to do on your holidays, you'd be like, what multiplication are you going to do when you get a turn of the computer?
Yeah, that's going to be exciting.
What game are you going to play for 5 minutes?
I'm going to do 235 times 2.
Oh, great.
Oh, that's exciting. I wonder what it'll be.
My cousin did that.
Oh, don't tell me.
He said it was fantastic.
Don't tell me what it is.
No spoilers. Oh, imagine if maths was our entertainment and we just...
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Instead of a new TV show, if our brains were really, really bad at maths, but very excited about it, then a new TV series would just be a new set of times tables coming out. And you could... listen to it. Oh, you hear they're bringing out the 12 times tables, and everyone would be, you know, gossiping about it and stuff.
Fuck. I haven't done the 11th time table yet.
And then the 12 times tables comes out and they release a new multiple of 12 every week for 12 weeks. And, you know, everybody, you find out what 11 times 12 is, and you're on tenterhooks to find out what 12 times 12 is going to be.
I guess if you couldn't do
Everybody's speculating.
If you couldn't do any mental calculations, then that would be the case. You would just be like, fuck, I wonder what it's going to be.
Everybody's got a theory.
No. So wait, what is this? No mental
arithmetic
arithmetic
yes
world
and
where maths
takes the place of creative works or like artistic works or TV or like I guess just TV
mystery
series.
Shows
yes or, exactly
I mean I wonder if you could you have a TV show formula that is based off of like a quadratic formula.
Oh, Alistair, I was hoping you'd ask me this.
could like so what's quadratic? Is that like a x2 squared a times x squared plus bx plus c equals 0? Is it always 0?
I think in order for you to be able to solve it by the general quadratic equation, then yes. And I think any quadratic equation you can rearrange into that format. So you could, you know, if it was equals 6, then you could just subtract 6 from both sides and you'd have a new one where the solution is the same and it equals 0. So, yeah.
So wait, I have further questions, but before I say this, wait. If it all equals 0, then that could be one of those sort of Shakespearean things where everybody ends up dead.
Exactly.
Right. So that's how you know. So this is the formula of this TV show. Everybody ends up dead.
Yeah.
Right. Or everything gets destroyed or whatever, which I guess is the end point of all societies. It's eventually, but. But what is the shape of a quadratic quadratic equation like on if you graph it? Is it always different or is it?
Is it always different? I think they're all pretty different. They're all pretty different.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
It doesn't just do like a parabola.
Oh, Alistair, I don't remember. I know that you have x cubed in there, then it has points of inflection. I know that. Yeah, I'm not sure. I know x squared is just going to give you a parabola, but if it's plus x, I don't remember.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
I'm
just trying to look it up at the same time.
20 years.
Yeah. I think they're often parabolas, though.
Okay, great. They're probably all parabolas then. Let's just say it. Let's just call it right now. They're all parabolas.
So look. So then we would have X, which is the main character.
Okay. What in a narrative sense, if your main character is X, in a narrative sense is X squared? Because this.
Well, I mean, it could be a clone. It could be. It's them times them. So I don't know what them in a narrative sense, what multiplication is.
Okay, so what I think you... What about this, Alistair? Because, you know, you solve a quadratic equation to find the value of x, okay?
Yeah.
So I don't think, narratively speaking, it necessarily makes sense to solve a show to find out who the main character is. But well, if it is a mystery show, right?
Yeah.
It's... you can have... and you will have an unknown, right?
Yeah.
So, and then you have different components of the narrative storytelling that reflect different characteristics of that unknown. So if you had, say, a murderer, right? Let's say they're X, okay?
Okay.
Then you have X squared. Now, X squared would be... X squared would be a Silence of the Lambs type situation where you somehow you combine those combine those two different murderers together who are the very similar and this is very difficult. This is very difficult.
Yeah, but I mean, but we found the unknown. So that we know that there's a murder, and we know that everybody ends up dead. So it's probably a murder suicide.
Okay,
right? In some way.
Who? What is C? Who is the constant?
Who is the constant?
You need a character who's a rock.
The constant is the one person who's not affected by the isn't killed by the murderer, I think.
Well, I think if it all equals zero, then
yeah,
they do have to be killed by the murderer.
Well, they have to be killed, but they don't have to be killed by the murderer.
Right, okay. Oh, but also when you solve a quadratic equation, you can get two different answers, right?
That's great. In theory, you can have because that's what art Andy, that's what art is.
Right. There were two killers.
Yeah, well, two killers. It could be, you know, it could be that he did it, or maybe it was, you know, it wasn't really his fault. He was made to do it through, you know, through how the universe went.
Really good.
You know? Look, I'm going to write this down.
I'm so glad.
Quadratic equation. I
mean, there was the show Numbers, Num3RS. Remember that? Where he used maths every time to solve the crime. Let's remake that.
Yeah, but that's not right. The show itself wasn't maths.
And that
wasn't personified math.
That was the problem. Let's do numbers, but where every week he uses PE to solve.
Hey, so look, wait. There's also PE.
Yeah,
I think you could do a drama that is
a sports crime
metaphor for a soccer game.
Oh, okay. Yep. No, go on. I think I don't think I have a brain left after trying to find one that was represented by a quadratic equation. So you tell me.
If you look at, quadratic equation though, AX plus BX plus C equals zero. AX and BX. AX could be a couple and BX is also a couple, right? Maybe X squared is that person, is the murderer with their, you know,
beloved.
It's them. Like with AX squared is the murderer and their beloved, and this is their main marriage, right? This is their main thing. This is A is their wife, whereas B is their side piece, either a girlfriend or a boyfriend, or a third thing.
Alistair, you know,
could be a pig.
We got to stop this.
Plus C. C could be a detective. You know, that's the constant. That's the arm of the law.
No, you're right.
The law. C. It's constant. John Constant. Did I tell you about John?
Great. Like Constantine.
Did I ever tell you about John Constant? This was a thing that one time when I was back in my younger days when I would do drugs. And I noticed that there was this sensation when you do some drugs. Right. This was, for example, this is a night where we had taken ecstasy tablets and we had also done, what was that other one there? Ketamine.
Oh, wow. Right?
And I was noticing that there's always this sensation while you're hanging out with friends talking where you would feel the sensation of, it feels like we're waiting for somebody to come out of the bathroom. Right, it was just a sensation that you would just get where you're like, I keep feeling like we're waiting for someone to come out of the bathroom, but we know that there's not anybody in there not to come out, but it's just a sensation.
Did anybody else confirm this sensation?
Well, when I discussed this with somebody, my friend said that they also were feeling that, and you know, maybe I planted that memory in their mind by bringing it up. But it was just a sensation. Anyway, and then I said, you know who it is? It's, have you ever done a quadratic equation?
Did you really?
Yeah. No, I think I was talking about integration. When you're doing integration, I think in maths.
Yeah.
There's that thing at the end where you do add the plus C.
Yeah, right.
And
just
because, like,
you have an unknown extra constant.
You have an unknown. That's, you know? And so it's this unknown that is always there, but you just... We didn't know what it was, so I said it was. That's what this is. It's constant. It's John Constant, and that's who the detective is.
That is a great name for a detective. I will say that of all the things that we've said today, I think we can all agree that John Constant is a terrific name for a hard-boiled dogged detective.
The trouble is that Constantine's name is also John Constantine.
Mm.
But it doesn't matter. We're not going to let that stop us.
No. We've committed to this, and this is the one thing that we won't change, regardless of what notes we get from the network.
That's right. Andrew, that we technically have written down 5 things.
Oh, dear God.
And so that means that if you're happy to move on, we could go to 3 words from a listener.
I think the listeners, if they're still out there, are begging for that. So let's do that now.
Okay, Andy. Well, I don't know if you know this, but we have people who can support us through Patreon. And a kind listener has sent in 3 words. It's, and I hope I'm pronouncing this correctly, Andriana Genualdi.
Andriana, thank you so much. Hello.
Thank you so much for sending this, these kind words.
I am genuinely thankful.
Well, I'm not saying that the words are kind. I mean kindly sending in the words.
Mm.
Now, Andy, do you think you could guess what one and then the rest of these words are?
I'll do it, but not in that order, Alistair.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to guess the rest first, and then I'll guess one.
All right, well, I'll look.
Here we go. The first word is shortening.
Shortening? No. No. Wait, did you say the first one, or were you saying the others?
Sorry, the last word.
The last word is dungeon.
Oh, okay. And then remainder.
No, Andy, you're thinking too much math. Now, which one was that one that you were guessing? Was that the first or
that's
third?
That's the middle one. That's the middle one.
Oh, no, the middle one is Dune.
Dune dungeon.
Dune. So now, do you know what the first word is?
Yep. Done. Done. Done.
I'm sorry. That is incorrect, Andy.
Damn it.
The first word is ding.
Ding, Dune dungeon?
Yeah.
Really good. Nobody is making prisons out of sand.
No. And bells.
And bells. Yes. I mean, could you do a kind of a prisoner kind of thing? And this doesn't sound very ethical to me. But you know how when you have a flock of cows, a herd of cows, and you put a bell on them, so that you can keep track of them in the fog.
Is that why? Is that why you do that?
Yeah. Could you have free range prisoners, but they just got a bell on them, so that you can catch them if you need to. You can find them if you need to. I mean, I guess in a way that's one of those bracelets, right? Those anklet things. But this is a bell. So it's quite different as well. It's analog.
I think there's an idea there. It's like it's the idea that you know, kind of in the same way that encryption works, and that you could break encryption if you could do enough calculations.
Mm.
But it's so much that you technically can't. And so, if you put prisoners in an isolated enough place,
yes,
if they put in enough work, they could escape back into civilization, but it's actually so much work that it's almost impossible for you to survive that journey.
Right. So are they in the middle of a desert?
I suppose so.
And do
maybe
they have
an oasis?
An oasis, sure. I mean, this is a little bit what they did when they brought people to Tasmania and they just put them in, put them on Macquarie. What's that island? Sarah Island. And they were like, yeah, good luck getting off here. But
did they get off?
Yeah, some of them did. Some of them did, but a lot of them died trying as well. That's where the cannibal. What's his name?
Oh, that guy.
Yeah, the cannibal convict. What was his name? Arthur something. Oh, I can't remember.
Arthur Cannibal.
Arthur Cannibal.
Well, let's say you have an oasis.
Yes.
Right. So you're actually putting them in quite a nice place, and then they have to. in order to escape, they have to walk through the desert. But then also, you're saving on bar costs.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I don't know what else you have to set up for them. I suppose.
Are they just living a normal life? Are they sort of having, growing food and going out to dinner with each other and stuff?
Yeah, I don't think there's Thai restaurants and stuff. I think it's a sort of a, it's basically the prison part. The negative aspect is that they're sent back in time in terms of the amount of technology that they have.
Yeah.
They kind of live a more village style lifestyle.
I know this idea isn't really, because it sounds quite nice there, but it's made me think this isn't really that same concept, but, imagine a prison, right? And they get a new warden in, and the new warden does such a good job of reforming all the prisoners. They become so nice, and they're all doing such nice things in the prison and keeping it all real nice, okay, and getting it all pretty in there. And it's lovely. They're growing lots of plants and that sort of thing, and it gets to the point where the prison is actually a lot nicer than everywhere else in the world.
Mm.
And now everybody's trying to break into the prison.
I think you're describing Japan, where... I think there's people where it's it's so tough for some elderly people out in the, living out in the world, where they're just committing little crimes so that they can get into prison and have an easier time.
Well, sure, it's real sad when you put it like that, Alistair. But I bet you that, but somehow a comedy.
Well, I mean, I think there is a comedy in Prison Oasis, where it is just, it's like a small town. Everybody's a prisoner.
Yes.
But they're all free to roam around. They've got to learn to live with it. There are a bunch of characters. I mean, this sounds like it's the kind of pitch that somebody would do and not get their show up. But you go, they're all a bunch of interesting characters.
Great. Oh, that's great. That's one of the boxes I have to tick on this commissioning form I got here. Do they have interesting characters? You tell me that you do. So that's a big tick for you there now. But this next one's tricky. Does it have an interesting storyline? And you say...
It has an interesting storyline.
Yes. And I say, ding, 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 ding. Looks like somebody's getting greenlit.
And well, you could also say it's really diverse.
How diverse is it? Because I have two boxes here. One says really, and one says... Not particularly.
Unfortunately, it's only one gender.
So which
that's
one?
Not that diverse.
Which
well,
one?
It'd be hard. It's just the thing is with Orange is the New Black, it's hard to then go and make another another all woman prison in an oasis.
Yeah.
But then there is also Oz, which is an all men's thing. So then to say that having two women prison shows is bad, that's bad in itself. So I'm going to say they're all women.
Correct answer. Yeah. You, here's $10 million. Go away and write the first episode on these banknotes. I'm sorry I didn't have any other paper. If you don't use all of them, you can keep the rest.
Before we move on from that, because I'm not sure if that is a sketch yet, but...
Yeah.
Do you think a bell, a giant bell, like a big, let's say a giant bell-sized dome that was placed, let's say maybe on a big stick, but kind of under the sand, right? Under the sand in a desert, right? But it's got enough sand over the top that it's kind of shielded on the inside from a lot of the direct sun's heat.
Yeah.
If you were under the sand, but if you were under this bell in the ground, there's air under the bell's dome.
Yes. Right?
Some sand kind of pours in under the dome. But would you have air and would it be hot under there, do you think?
Oh, great question. I mean, deserts get really cold overnight, right? And
But they get really hot during the day.
They get really hot during the day. You're right. That's the flip side, isn't it? But I think the fact that it's 50-50, you know, hot, cold, that you might find that because it takes so long during the day for the thing to heat up and then it has so much time to cool down at night, it might be that you just have quite a pleasant environment there in your big desert bell.
Mm.
Nice.
It's a big metal bell, though.
Climate controlled. Yeah, but it's under the sand. If it's under, it's under far enough.
And you don't get a good ding out of it because of all the sand on top
you
of
wouldn't,
it.
You wouldn't get a good ding, no. What about...
Yeah.
No, I just wanted to pitch another thing, which is that, like, okay, let's totally cover a prisoner in bells. So, like, they just jingle everywhere you go. Because that's what you do with cats, right? You give them a bell around the neck, and then they can't do any... They can't kill any birds because...
Yeah.
They jingle and they scare the birds away. So we're going to let prisoners go free in the society, but they wear a bell suit and they just always jingling. So you know when they're coming and you can keep an eye on them.
Yeah, no, I do love that. Yeah. So you see them, you hear them walking down the street. I mean, that would be pretty ominous, though, sleeping at nighttime.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, it'd be ominous. I'm not saying it would be ominous. Night,
I mean, he's in the middle of the night, you just hear clink, 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 clink.
I'm thinking
please don't stop at my house. Please don't stop at my house. Please don't stop at my house.
I'm thinking lots of little cat bells. So they sort of jingle. Like their whole body is covered in like a suit of many, many, many bells. And they're just ching, 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 ching. Bit like Santa Claus when he comes, ding, 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 but more.
What about if you covered him in wind chimes?
Oh, yes, that's good because that's also quite relaxing and that might diffuse some of the stress that you feel when you hear them coming. You'd still be aware of them, but you wouldn't be so tense because of the wind chimes. Blink, blonk, ding, blonk, ding, blonk, ding, blonk, blonk.
I wonder what's making it. Is there also a timpani in between their legs? Ting, bonk, ting, bonk. What's that low sound?
That I was doing?
Yeah.
That's just one of the long wind chimes. I'm doing bamboo wind chimes. I don't know what kind of material you were thinking.
I was doing sort of chimes made out of metal.
But, you know what? I think dressing them up in a full one-man band outfit would also have the same effect.
I guess it depends on whether, you know, people who get out of prison have the same problem with homelessness as they do today.
A character called the One Man Bandit, and he robs people, but he's always full dressed in a full One Man Band outfit.
Does he run in it?
He runs,
All right, I'm writing One Man Bandit.
He plays music everywhere he goes.
That's incredible. Yeah, I guess he could do sort of faster drum and bass kind of music. Mm. Not that he's making any electronic music, but unless he's his one man band suit is a electric drum kit that allows him to load up any kind of sounds that he wants.
That's what he's saving up for. That's why he's doing the crimes.
That's why he's doing all these crimes because he's trying to make it to the big time.
I'd love to see more one man band people.
I mean, a one-man band, a digital one-man band guy who's like a DJ who does dance music, I think would be quite something to see. I mean, to find out that he's actually just pressing play and then just pretending to do it would be pretty disappointing.
But he has play buttons all over his body.
Yeah. Well,
so he can press play with his knees.
Hello. Yeah. He's even pressed the... He throws a button into the crowd and he lets you press it a bit.
I also think the full body suit jingling prisoner is good. I think it's almost could be a horror film in some way as well.
Yeah, I that's exactly where my thing went. My thing, which is my mind, went straight away. And I'm going to take us through the sketch ideas. Firstly, I'd like to say thank you to Andriana for... those words, thank you.
They were really great words. They made me really happy.
Thank you very much. We've got today's sketches. Streaming, the love of streaming. Yeah.
Good. Andy. Strong. Start.
No, it is. Like, look, you don't see the joy that's on this guy's face when you're thinking about it. You're just thinking about a guy who's angry with a cable. But this guy is joyous. He's going, oh my God, we got 25 audience members. That's just the perfect amount for answering all their questions anymore. And you can't really keep up, you know, and people are kind of paying money so that they can get more notice. But you don't need to do that here. And this is perfect for you guys so that you guys can just watch without losing too many. Oh my God, my software is looking to update. This is going to be great because we're going to have new features as soon as this is finished updating. I'm going to...
Alistair, this is the greatest comic character of all time. Somebody who is excited when their computer starts downloading updates. Oh, I'm about to record a podcast. People are waiting for me. My computer has decided to install updates on restart. What a glorious moment. Think of the new features. I'll be able to describe them to the guests when I'm eventually able to start.
Well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to boot another operating system here within my own operating system just so that I can install it straight away, and we can go through it together and see what they've got installed for us.
I mean, somebody streaming, live streaming their install progresses. They're installing. Mm. That's incredible.
See, look, there's fun in there, Andy. Oh, you were skeptical.
I'm gonna Twitch stream. Next time I'm upgrading my operating system, I'm going to do a Twitch stream and I'm going to do a commentary. Because sometimes it is quite nail-biting the way the time remaining goes up and down.
Oh, yeah.
It's a real roller coaster. They have not nailed that technology at all. It is pure speculation.
We are still hundreds of years away
from being able to accurately estimate an install time.
Yeah, or the amount of time it takes to transfer files into a folder.
Oh.
All right, well, then we got bullying dogs with a smile and a nice tone. It's one of the options available from the victimless crimes broker, which could also be done with other option. What's that? Oh, with other option. I didn't put a lot of details there, but that meant, you know, you could do it with people who don't speak English or obviously the people who have lost their mind, maybe.
Mm. But we're sure they have, so it's okay.
Yeah. And then we've got no new content. It's a content ceasefire so that we can have a year off and everybody can catch up on all the old stuff that was available to watch. I mean, maybe just a 1 year universal basic income for everyone so that we can just watch stuff, not feel guilty. We're all having a year off.
Oh, everybody gets it. It's good for everyone. That's great.
A big gap year. You're not expected to produce anything. Let the economy reset a bit.
Nobody is pitching that as a platform for their political party, which is just like a year off. Everybody gets a year off. Universal basic income only for a year.
Gap year for everyone.
Like the country will rack up some debt. It'll be fine. Or maybe what we'll do is, all right, everybody as a country, let's work really hard for 3 years and then we'll have a year off.
Yeah. And also, I mean, you could just skim 25% off of the defense budget for 4 years. And then you just get a full defense budget's worth of money for everybody.
Mm.
And
so
we all
good.
Just get to live off of that for a year. And I reckon we'd be pretty happy. And, you know, we're not going to be using the military for that 1 year. So we technically could get 2 years worth of military budget.
This is good.
It's going to be heaps. Then we got then also we're starting again with the content. We're destroying all content and possibly all knowledge. Then... no mental arithmetic world. That's where maths
where the times table is released.
Yeah,
week
it's a
by
mystery
week
show. And it's, yeah, and it's, this is like the thing that people are looking forward to finding out. Oh, man, I wonder what, man, could you imagine if we one day even get to see the 13s?
I got to tell you.
What would be like?
I got to tell you that the 7x table, every single one of those things takes me by surprise. Every time.
Yeah.
I have, there's no chance of me getting on top of that. Beyond 5x7, I am in absolutely uncharted waters.
You know which is the craziest one? It's 3x17.
Wow. Yeah, that does sound crazy.
Have you ever found out what that is?
No.
It's 51.
51, that is crazy.
51, who would have thought that 51 was divisible by 3? That's the most insane number. Look at it. 51. Get out of town.
That's a prime number. You can't tell me.
Yeah, come on. So then we got quadratic equation-based mystery show. But this is not in a world where they don't have mental arithmetic. This is just a real TV show where it's based off of the quadratic equation.
Quadratic sounds like a great place to go for a holiday.
Yeah, ooh.
We're going sailing on the quadratic.
That does sound good, actually. Because it's that aquadratic. Then we got Prison Oasis. This is a big TV show. Maybe half the island is a male prison. Half the oasis is a male prison, and half the island is a female prison. That way we can have a bit more diversity of gender.
That sounds great.
But they don't know about each other. They don't know about each other until halfway through, or maybe at the end of season one. No way. I don't know yet.
It's good, Al.
And then we got Prisoner Bell Suit, which is a good idea.
Can I just pitch this, though? It's Lost / Orange is the New Black, right? And what it is you have a prison plane crashes on an island. You've got the guards. You've got the prisoners. They're trying to start a new kind of... like they've got to work out what the island is going to be, basically. Are they going to try and keep the prisoners?
Is it an oasis or an island?
I don't know. It can be an oasis if you want.
Sounds like you're just doing Lost.
Were there prisoners on that?
No, but you know.
Well, then it's different. It's very different. There's so much more, tension.
Yeah, but then if you're doing that, why you got the plane? Get the plane crash as well. It's crazy.
All right, it's a bus. It's a bus in the desert.
A bus crashes at an oasis.
There you go. It's a totally different idea.
I think if it's on purpose, it's fine. You know, that it means it was planning. They can still be parachuted in or whatever.
Great.
In their cages. You know, they dropped a bit like a Operation Dumbo Drop.
Mm.
And then the final one is a one-man bandit. He's a guy who robs places, always dressed as a one-man band.
He plays his own heist music.
Oh, that's good.
Mm.
Makes it really
tense.
Tense,
or
that's good.
Jaunty.
You can make it fun.
Mm-hmm.
Take some of that tension away. Andy. Boots.
Gribble, gribble. Gribble, gribble. Gribble. Gribble, gribble. Gribble, gribble.
Thank you very much for listening to Two in the Think Tank. I think that's the podcast we're doing. You can also listen to our other podcast called The Pop Test. Download it, you know, subscribe a bunch of people to it. That helps us some heaps right now. Maybe get a second season.
I don't endorse crimes, but if you're breaking into people's houses anyway, why not subscribe their computers? You know, like obviously steal the laptops. I assume that's the kind of thing you're into. But the desktops, you're not buggering around trying to carry those away with you. So leave the desktop computer. Just jump on, subscribe to the Pop Test.
Exactly.
They probably won't even press charges. They'll be so happy. I'm at Stupid Old Andy.
And I'm at AlistairTB, and we're at 2inTank. You can find us on Instagram at 2inTank. You can send us an email at 2inthethinktank@gmail.com.
Oh, yes, please.
If you want to send us long letters, that's a good place. And you can support us on Patreon if you like. People have been doing that. It's been very kind. We appreciate it. There's bonus content there.
Would be great to have an episode of a crime show where they're investigating a string of burglaries, and the only thing that the person has been doing, like nothing's ever stolen, but we find out somebody works out that this person is breaking into people's houses and using their computers to subscribe to their own podcast to increase their try and get on the new and noteworthy.
Yeah,
because you wouldn't know. No one ever checks that. When someone breaks into your house, nobody ever checks if they've been subscribed to any new podcasts.
That's true. You know what, Andy? I've just realized that mystery show, right, where it's a quadratic equation, it could be a full maths mystery show where not only do you watch the mystery within the show, but then you also got to guess which mathematic equation it's based off of. That's a second mystery.
Really good. Really good, yeah. Al.
All right. Well, we got to wrap this up. So see you all later. And we
love
you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.